Right, carrying on. Hilchos Asorah B'Tevis and the Nitzig Avriel. So we mentioned last week that the Sfaradim have a whole announcement they make on the Shabbos before Asorah B'Tevis. Everyone listen, this month should be from Kadosh Baruch Hu turn it around, L'Sosa L'Simcha. There's a whole thing. Why specifically this one? By the way, the Ashkenazim don't have it, as Ramah says. Since it's Kabbalah anyway, these Tanaisim, you don't need the Kabbalah beforehand. Reason number one. Reason number two is we don't upset people on the Shabbos beforehand that there's a Tanais coming up. Right, so that's the first thing we mentioned. Then we went on to Yeshikos Lahachmi B'Tanais Asar B'Tevis Yosem Mishar Gimel Tzomos. You have to be more Machmen Asar B'Tevis than the other fast days. So what's the the rationale for that? Why should this be more serious than the others? The answer, this Tanis was the beginning of all the Tzoras. This is when the siege happened. And from this, all the other Tzoras happened. That's number one. Secondly, since we find it's the only fast, if it falls on Shabbos, you'd have to fast on Shabbos. And which other fast do you fast on Shabbos? Only Yom Kippur. So that therefore that shows how Chomel, even though it can't happen nowadays with the calendar, but were it to happen, then you would fast on Shabbos. The main thing is to be aroused to tshuva, and it brings from the Bnei Yisoscha. But again, we say this fast is Doicha Shabbos, and it starts all the problems, and therefore, this one in particular, more than the others, is to do tshuva more than the others. Then we are carrying on where we left off last time. So, if Asar B'Tevis would fall on a Friday, and there is a chasana on the Friday, they make the chuppah, they daven mincha, they read vayachal, achakach orchem achuppah, then they set up the chuppah, the chosn v'kala lo yishtu me'akos, the chosn v'kala can't drink from the cup, Eliot and Nuhu Latinokas to give it to children to drink. Keshachal Pidna Ben Yom Lamed Aleph Asar B'Tevis. If Pidna Ben is due to fall on Asar B'Tevis, Yesh Urim, some say she yasa Pidyon Belaila, Shala Achrov Yachadim Asuda. Some say she made the pigeon on the night after, together with the Suda. So if it's the night after, it wouldn't matter if it's during the week. Shabbos, that means you're already putting off to Motzei Shabbos Sunday, we'll come on to that. So if Asar B'Tevis falls during the week, there is a pidyon aben, you make the pidyon just before nacht, and you have the suda at nacht. Some say, make the whole pidyon on the night beforehand. Most poskim hold that you make the pidyon on the day of the fast, the Suda Balaila, Shala Achrov, and the Suda is on the night afterwards. Vyasa Pidyon, Basof Hayom. You make the pidyon at the end of the day. I want to check if the speaker might not. If the speaker's here, if he.
Yeah.
No, just see, maybe he's stuck at the door or something, doesn't know where to go.
Yeah.
Have you got your sheet on your Moshe with the.
Yeah.
Can I borrow it?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I've got one. It's okay. Don't need it. That's what it's okay, I'm okay.
Oh.
Don't either.
Just check who's looking for.
Yeah, looks like Mayor Frommel.
Very good.
Keshechal Asar B'Tevis B'Erev Shabbos Kodesh. If Asar B'Tevis falls on a Friday, Yasa Pidyon Belel Hatanis, you make the pidyon on the Thursday night. The Rotsa Yuchal Asar Pidyon B'Boker. You can also make the pidyon in the morning, but the Suda will be on Friday night. Everyone agrees you don't delay it until Motzei Shabbos or Sunday. Ein lishtuf es piv baboker yom ha'tanis. You can't rinse out your mouth in the morning of the tanis. You can't clear out your teeth with water. Somebody who's in great pain, one can be makel. Ach, The person should be careful and arch his neck forward so that the mortar does not go into his throat. A person who has very bad breath is allowed to sort of clean out his teeth with something which is like a sort of something, no water involved, not sure it's a mouthwash or something else, I'm going to be quite clear. Listerine. A person is allowed to rinse his mouth with listerine, in mind with water, since listerine, it says here, is harmful for the body, there's no chance you're going to drink it, and therefore you can use listerine, because you're going to spit it out rather than swallow it. Some also have the minig, and they are machme not to have a haircut on a sort of Tavis. The Torah is Zelech Bered Shabbos, but if it falls on a Friday, one can. A person wants to try food out to make sure it's okay to eat. Or it needs extra salt. Should just try a little below livloa klum and not to swallow anything. A person is allowed to bathe in hot water for Shabbos. Some give tzedaka before mincha, kashal be'erev Shabbos. Hanoagim lispalel me'uchar be'bigdei Shabbos yitnu shachris yitnu tzedaka be'shachris over meshech hayom. So if asar b'tevis falls on a Friday, then the minhag is to daven very late in bigdei Shabbos when they daven, and to give tzedaka in the morning or during the day. Magdim in tefillas hamincha, they make mincha early b'nei tzorach likras b'torah, because they have to lain b'prat. So let's talk about a general thing. If Surah Batavis falls during the week, you should daven early. And in particular, on Erev Shabbos, our speaker is here. Started at the Torah in Northwest London. Sunday, Ches Tevez, 28th of December. Rabbi Shmuel Honig's Wax Shlita. Solutions for companies which need to operate on Shabbos. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Yossi Levy of BSD Design and Build. The Chvod Simchas Mitzvah of Elior Levy Neriyahu's Bar Mitzvah was yesterday. He Rotzen Shizka Horobos Kinov Rav Nachas Amin Kol Yotzei Chalotzehem. And also the Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov, Ben Rav Shimon Michal Tzvi. It's good.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me. I'm going to speak a little bit about the topic of businesses that run on Shabbos, businesses that need to run on Shabbos, the various types of businesses which, for one reason or another, are not able to cease operations on Shabbos. If you have a store, let's say, and you're located in an area where the main profit is earned on Shabbos, the Rabbanim that I follow do not allow you to do a Shtar Shabbos, because technically you could close, and it's a big zilusa of Shabbos. It's denigrating the Shabbos if you keep a store open, which could technically be closed. There are, however, situations where it's impossible to close down on Shabbos. For example, everybody in the stands, a nursing home, old age home, you can't exactly shut the place down on Friday afternoon and send everybody home. If you have, let's say, a store that's located in a mall, frequently the agreement with the landlord is that it has to stay open 7 days a week. Also, real estate, when you have a building that needs emergency work on Shabbos, the tenant calls up, there's a burst pipe, some kind of issue with electricity or whatever. Everybody knows that it's very difficult. A person would suffer a very, very big loss if the building was shut down on Shabbos and you couldn't send in anybody to do the necessary repairs. So as far as solutions are concerned, there are two main solutions to allow a business to stay open on Shabbos. We'll start with the solution known as the Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira is a solution which was developed by Divrei Chaim. It's very interesting that it's not so easy to understand what the reasoning of his Heter is. He has a few tshuvas in his first chelik of Erech Chaim, where he discusses the Heter. The last tshuva he is very short tshuva. He just gives you the language of the shtar, which you can use to create a Heter Mechira. The tshuva right before that seems to be discussing the reasoning behind his Heter Mechira. It's not 100% clear that's what he's doing. But it is pretty important to understand what his reasoning is. If you interpret the tshuva, the way I understand the tshuva, he seems to be saying that he concedes that even though you do a Heter Mechira, let's say you go ahead, Heter Mechira basically is you're selling a portion of your business to a non-Jew, or you're leasing a portion, you're leasing the business to a non-Jew on Shabbos. If you sell it, then the way it works is that you sell a certain percentage of the business, which is equal to the number of Shabbos days and Yom Tov days during the year. And you're basically saying that the business belongs to the non-Jewish partner on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the business belongs to them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now some Rabbanim assume that means that the workers are really working on behalf of the non-Jewish partner on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you read the Divrei Chaim, he doesn't seem to be saying that. He seems to concede that certainly the workers are working on the say-so of the Jewish owner, because they don't know anything about the Shtar Mechira. The Shtar Mechira is done very secretly. Nobody wants it to become public information that there's another partner over here, and you don't really want this non-Jew trying to take over the business and give instructions to workers. So you sell a portion of the business, and the workers know nothing about it. So as far as the workers are concerned, they're working on the instruction of the Jewish owner. The Divrei Chaim seems to concede that point. He bases his Heter on another concept, which is called Bashel Lecha V'Shulcha. The Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch discuss what's the halacha. Let's say a person takes a piece of meat, gives it to a non-Jew on Shabbos, and tells him, here's this meat, I want you to cook it and eat it yourself. Right? So the non-Jew is cooking the meat because the Jew told him to cook the meat, but he's doing it for himself. He's doing it for his own benefit in order to eat it himself. So there's two sifrim in the Shulchan Aruch which discuss this matter. It's not 100% clear. There's a very big contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch about what the halacha is about Bashel Lecha V'Shulcha. The various achroinim are miyashiv the steer in different ways. In one sif, it seems to say that it's allowed, and in another sif, it seems to say that it's not allowed. So the Divrei Chaim basically says that since a non-Jew is technically entitled to the profits of Shabbos and Yom Tov because he bought that portion of the business, so technically he should receive the profits which are earned in the business on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, we can employ this concept of Bashel Lecha V'Shulcha, meaning, even though it's a little bit different than the regular case of giving the piece of meat to the goy and telling him to cook it for himself, because in that case, the person doing the work is the same person who's going to benefit from the meat, right? He's cooking the meat, and then he himself is going to go eat the meat. In this case, you have a situation where John is doing the work, John is the employee doing the work, and technically it's supposed to benefit the non-Jewish partner, Paul, who bought the building, right? So it's a little bit different, but the Divrei Chaim feels that that's not a difference which would make a difference in halacha, and therefore would have the same halacha as Bashel Lecha V'Shulcha. So if that case is mutter, so this case would also be mutter. Now the question is, we have to understand what is the halacha in the case of Bashel Lecha V'Shulcha. So there's two theories in the Achroinim about how to resolve the contradiction that appears in the Shulchan Aruch. One sheet of the Achroinim is the Magen Avraham, who says that he basically says that the Sif in Shulchan Aruch, which seems to say that Bashel Lecha V'Shulcha is Asur, happens to be discussing a case where the Jew is benefiting from the work. And but other Achroinim, the Shach and the Vilna Gaon, they take the position that the correct way to resolve the contradiction is by saying that the Sif in Shulchan Aruch, which says it's Aser, is talking about a case where the Jew is giving the non-Jew the ability to do the work. So if the non-Jew could have done it himself, so then it doesn't matter if you instruct him to do it, as long as he could have done it himself, and he's the one benefiting from the work. Whereas the Sif in Shulchan Aruch, which says that it's Mutter, is talking about a case where the non-Jew was not able to do the work without the permission from the Jew. Now, according to the second opinion in the Achronim, who say that Bashel Cha B'Shvil Cha will not be allowed in a case where the Jew is giving the non-Jew the ability to do the work, so that would seem to create a situation for us where we cannot really apply this heter in the case of a heter mechira, because a heter mechira is obviously a situation where the non-Jew is restricted from telling the workers whether they should work or not. So basically, because the Jewish owner doesn't really want to cede control of his business to this non-Jewish partner. So in every shtar of a heter mechira, there is a stipulation that the non-Jewish buyer has no right to do whatever he wants in the business until he actually pays all the money that he obligated himself to pay for buying that portion of the business. You're not giving it away for free, because then the guy is just going to walk off with it if he has any seichel whatsoever. So there's a stipulation, a clear stipulation, that the non-Jewish buyer has no right to just play around with the business and do whatever he wants. So therefore, it would be very difficult to justify the heter according to these achroinim, who say that there's no allowance of Bashel Cha B'Shvil Cha, even though the non-Jew is benefiting ultimately from the work, if the Jew has to give permission to the non-Jew to do the work. So the Derech Chaim actually circumvents this problem, because he says that he creates a distinction between whether you're giving him this piece of meat to cook on Shabbos itself, in which case we have all these questions and contradictions, as opposed to a situation where you give him the piece of meat on Erev Shabbos and you tell him, go ahead and cook this meat for yourself on Shabbos. Well, in that case, he says, everybody would agree that it would be allowed to do it regardless of the circumstances. So in other words, the Derech Chaim basically, he's mechadish, he creates a heter where he says that if a Jew instructs a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos to do work for the benefit of another non-Jew on Shabbos, that would be allowed. And based on that, he justifies the heter mechira, where the Jew is not giving any instructions on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, the Jew is sitting at home enjoying his challah, right? And everything has been set in place before Shabbos, and the non-Jews are doing the work on Shabbos based on the instructions that they received years and years ago on a weekday. And since the business has been sold to a non-Jew for the time of Shabbos, and he's ostensibly going to be earning the profits, therefore, says the Derech Chaim, that would be allowed. Now, it's important to understand that based on this, we have to know the limitations of this heter. Let's say you have a nursing home, right? So you're billing for the work that's actually performed by the staff. You have a nurse performing a procedure, which is a malacha. You're billing the patient or the insurance company for the actual time spent on Shabbos doing the work. So there's a clear correlation between the work that's done and the profit that's earned. The business is profiting physically from the work which is performed on Shabbos, and we can justify saying that because the non-Jew ostensibly is benefiting from that work, therefore the halacha should be that it will be allowed to do that work on Shabbos. Where a person owns a real estate property, and he has a superintendent, or I don't know what they call it in England, he has somebody going and performing repairs that become necessary on Shabbos. Let's say the water line breaks, there's a leak, there's going to be a flood. Tenants are not going to be satisfied. The building will suffer very serious damage. So there's an emergency. You got to call somebody to come down on Shabbos and perform a repair. There's no clear correlation between that work and profits earned. It's more of like a grumma. Because of the work that's earned, maybe the tenants will be more satisfied, and they won't leave the building. So it's not clear to me whether it's whether one can use the heter of the Devar Chaim in that situation. Even if we could use the heter of the Devar Chaim, the Shtar should explicitly state that the non-Jewish owner of the building on Shabbos is entitled to any profits which are in any way remotely connected to the work which is performed on Shabbos. So that way, technically, the non-Jew will be able to come and say, look, let's make some kind of calculation, let's figure out statistically how many tenants you would have lost had the work not been performed, and that's the money that I'll get, right? And then, obviously, he's not going to end up getting that money because there's another loophole in the Shtar which allows the Jew to actually keep the profits, which is another, you know, area of concern about the entire application of the Heter Mechira. Which, so we're not going to really get into that too much, but I'm just pointing out that a Rav who actually executes a Heter Mechira has to be very aware of the reasoning behind the Heter Mechira in order to properly word the Shtar, especially in situations where the profits are not directly related to the work that's performed on Shabbos. It's important to clearly stipulate that nevertheless those profits will be covered. I'd like to discuss also another method of a heter, which according to my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Miller, I actually brought a sefer over here where I wrote down many of the psukim and a lot of these things are discussed at length to explain what the reasoning of the heter is. It's very interesting that this heter was inspired by a political event, and it's very interesting that many of Rabbi Miller's Talmidim don't properly understand the fundamentals of the heter because they don't know so much history. Baruch Hashem, I was able to understand it because I had a little bit of a background in American history. I don't know if Doyle knows about the Watergate scandal that occurred during President Nixon's tenure. So there was something called the Saturday Night Massacre, where President Nixon had a... there was a special investigator trying to investigate the Watergate event at the instigation of these two irreligious Jews, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, who raced on the whole... this whole scandal, and there was a special investigator. His name was Archibald Cox. He was investigating the Watergate scandal. Now, Nixon obviously was not happy with what Mr. Cox was doing. So Nixon instructed his attorney general to fire Mr. Cox. His attorney general didn't want him. So he fired the attorney general, and then the deputy attorney general became the attorney general, and he told him to do it. He didn't want to listen either. And then the Solicitor General became the Attorney General, and he listened to Nixon, and he fired Mr. Cox. So Rabbi Miller was observing these events, apparently, and he was inspired to realize that in the corporate structure of America, it's possible to have a situation. Now, the comparison between the executive branch of the government and a regular company is not so clear. But I'll get that in a minute. But he basically he learned from this that even though the attorney general worked for the president, he was hired by the president, and this attorney general hired somebody to work for him, it's possible for there to be a buffer where the actual owner of the company, so to speak, is not able to hire and fire workers necessarily. There's some kind of buffer created to protect the workers. Says Rabbi Miller, if so, it should be possible to replicate that in a company and say that even though the Jew is the owner of the company, if he has a buffer in between himself and the workers where legally he does not have the ability and the authority to hire and fire workers directly, right, and he has to go through the manager or administrator, whoever it might be, in that case, he's not considered to be telling the workers what to do because he has no direct control over the workers. The worker really doesn't have to listen to him, technically, right? Now the worker will want to listen to him because the owner of the company has the ability to remove the buffer at any time, just like President Nixon had the ability to fire the attorney general and replace him with somebody who would listen to him. So the workers would like to listen to the owner, but they're not obligated to listen to the owner. And since their paycheck is not dependent on the owner, Taina's Rabbi Miller, therefore, he's not considered to be directly employing the workers on Shabbos. And if we can put in an incentive so that this middle person, this manager or administrator, whatever he might be, has a reason and an incentive to operate the business for his own benefit, let's say you give him a small percentage of profits, what's called in halacha is arisus. He's getting a small percentage of profits. In that case, we would say that this manager is not operating the company solely to benefit the Jewish owner. He's operating it for his own benefit. And therefore, since the Jew is not directly employing the workers who actually work on Shabbos, it's the non-Jew who's doing it, and this non-Jewish administrator is doing it for his own benefit, so therefore, there should not be a problem of Amir Lakum. That was his chash.
Are you sure if you have a company in between?
So some people interpret this heter as being specific to a case where you have a management company. Rabbi Miller feels that you don't have to have a management company. You could just have a manager and do a shtar with him, execute a shtar, which says clearly that the Jewish owner cannot override the manager's decisions as long as the shtar is in effect. Now, a very interesting evolution of the heter took place when Rabbi Miller approached Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zitzal at a wedding and presented this heter to him. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, write me a shaila, and I'll send back a tshuva. So Rabbi Miller put this heter into a shaila form and sent it to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein sent back a tshuva where he agreed with the heter. However, it's the heter that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein articulated was a little bit different than the way that Rabbi Miller understood the heter. Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't write anything about the Saturday Night Massacre. He didn't discuss the legal buffer that's created between the owner and the workers. He discusses a situation where he creates a concept in halacha called Baal HaMelacha. Somebody is the owner of the work. And he says that if you have a Baal HaMelacha, then that the Baal HaMelacha is considered to be the employer as opposed to the owner considered to be the employer. So, how do you create a Baal HaMelacha? The example that Rav Moshe Feinstein gives in the Igros Moshe is that if the non-Jewish workers are not associated at all with the owner, they don't know who the owner is. They deal with the manager. They know about the manager. In that case, that's called that you have a Baal Malacha, the manager is your Baal Malacha, and he's considered to be the employer according to the halacha. He doesn't say that it's because you have a legal buffer where the Jewish owner has no ability to override the decisions made by the non-Jewish manager. So, many of Rabbi Miller's Talmidim basically accepted the heter as it is articulated in the Igros Moshe, and not the heter as Rabbi Miller understood it. I understood the heter the first way that I explained. And then I one time asked Rabbi Miller, what about a case where there's no legal buffer, but the workers don't know who the owner is? The workers have no relationship with the owner. So he told me that would be mutter. So I said, okay, so it must be that I'm wrong, that it has nothing to do with the legal buffer. It all depends on whether the workers are aware of the existence of this Jewish owner. But then a different time, I asked him about a case. Somebody came over to me at the H3 in Chicago, a guy who has a very, very big portfolio of nursing homes. And he had a shiloh like this. He had the workers of his nursing home were employed by a company, a management company. He was the owner of the management company. But he was only he wasn't a real owner. He wasn't registered as owner. He had a non-Jewish partner who was not such a big partner. He had, let's say, 20% in the company, in the whole nursing home portfolio. But this non-Jewish partner was the registered owner of the management company which employed all the workers in this entire portfolio. So I thought, according to the way that I understood Roy Miller's heter, we have a textbook case of the heter, right? You have a management company which legally is the one that hires and fires all the workers, right? The workers might not pay attention to the fact that the registered owner of this management company, their real employer, is this non-Jewish partner, they all their interactions are with people that work for the Jewish owner, and they're aware of the fact that the Jew is really the owner of all these companies, of this entire portfolio. They don't really look into, they don't search online and find that in the public records, this non-Jew is the owner of the management company which employs them. But really, legally, there's a very strong buffer where the Jewish owner really has no legal authority to hire and fire workers. So I went over to Rabbi Miller. I asked him, what do you hold about this? He said, it's mutter. So I learned from here that both of these aterim are true, at least according to Rabbi Miller's opinion. He accepts the Igros Moshe's iteration of the heter, that if you have a Baal Malacha idea where the workers don't know about the Jewish owner, that they will be allowed to work on Shabbos. But he also believes in his heter, which he was inspired to by the legal structure, and that heter would apply even if the workers are not aware of the buffer, right? And they only know about the Jewish owner. But nevertheless, since there is a legal buffer between the Jewish owner and the workers, Rabbi Miller believes that in that case it would also be mutter. I actually was saying this shir one time to a group of Baal Batim, and one of the Baal Batim took issue with this entire concept of you know, comparing this idea that was discovered in the political arena to a corporate situation. But another one of the Baal Batim pointed out that really every sports team in the United States functions in this way. You have an owner of the sports team who's 100% owner of the team, and you have a manager. And the players want to be protected. They don't want the owner of the sports team to get mixed into their athletic pursuits. So there's an agreement between the owner and the manager that the owner has no right to hire and fire players. It's completely up to the manager. So apparently, it is possible to create such a structure in a corporate setting as well. And because of that, it's quite justifiable to use this heter for Shabbos. Rabbi Miller feels that it's a lot more l'chatchila than the other heter. I'd like to point out also that if you use this heter, you won't have the issue we brought up before about real estate. Also, nursing homes, even though the heter mechira is more justifiable, however, we mentioned before there are some questions about the heter mechira. The Mishnah Brura doesn't seem to accept the Dibrei Chaim's heter mechira in the first place. And additionally, there are many situations which arise in a nursing home which would not be covered by a standard heter mechira. It could be you could change heter mechira a little bit. For example, you have issues of Jewish patients that are eating tarfas, or you have, recently it's become a very big issue in the United States where there's end-of-life issues in a nursing home, where there's nurses that are performing procedures which could shorten somebody's life, and those issues would not be covered with heter mechira, whereas Rabbi Miller's shtar would be more effective in dealing with those issues. Yashar Koyach.
Fascinating.
So 40 pounds for a set. There's two halakim. Many of the issues of businesses are discussed in those forum.
It's a totally Jewish nursing home that we have here. So what happens? What's that? How does that work?
All the patients are Jewish.
The owners are Jewish, and it's all done by Yidden.
And the administrator is also Jewish.
Yeah.
So you'll have to use the Hatter Mechira. If you have a Jewish administrator, you have no choice. You have to do the Hatter Mechira. Just sell it to some guy.
Yeah.
Sell like a portion.
No, the Yidden run the whole thing.
So you could do a sale, like it's like a chametz sale. The Dibrei Chaim's concept is basically like a chametz sale, where you sell a portion of the business to a guy. Yeah. Probably that's what they do. You know, that's the more common mahalo. So the derech is klal, right? There is an issue of scar shop, which I didn't discuss. The derech is klal, it's not applicable because usually the payments are to be made over a 24-hour period starting at 12 a.m. and ending at 12 p.m. So that usually includes non-Shabbos time,
And therefore,
Right. 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 Find somebody else.
Yeah.